I can do ready. This. I can be. Oh, we're ready.
I'm the yes. one who starts. Oh my God. Okay, this is the Gen X Taste Podcast. I'm already talking here, Christy.
Sorry.
This is a great start. This is a great start.
Great podcast.
This is it. Oh boy. Episode one. Here we go. This is the Gen X Taste Podcast. I'm Lynn Chen, and I'm joined by one of my best friends since the 90s, Christy Myers.
I'm Christy Myers, and welcome to our seasonal show about nostalgia and novelty, an exploration of embracing the evolution. You're laughing right in the middle of my intro.
I'm laughing because for two reasons. Number one, because this is the would if we do this over again, it will have been the fifth time that we re-recorded this intro. Number Five two, times. I could tell your pause every single time in the script, even though you know it's in the script, that I say that you're one of my best friends since the 90s. I can see, I can feel the about that every single time I say it, even though you know I'm going to say it. And I think this was a fitting introduction to this podcast and what it is, and however you ended up here. I'm so happy that you're joining Christy and I, because this is intimate. This is intimate. What we're doing is extremely intimate.
Oh, God. Okay.
No, I just mean like what we're sharing here, I feel like, is amongst a very intimate group, because I don't know about you, Christy, but I'm not doing this to like have podcast platforms come at us with, you know, sponsorships and money.
Nope.
That's not what this is for, because if it was, we would have stuck to that last podcast that we did together, The Actor's Diet, and we would have tried to mount onto the success of the first 100 episodes with all the celebrity guests, and we would have tried to grow that. But I think we very clearly saw that that was not the podcast path that we wanted to be on.
Yeah.
So essentially, what I wanted to do in this episode, this very first inaugural episode, which, as you mentioned, is a seasonal show.
It's seasonal.
Is sort of to explain, it's seasonal, and we're in the winter season right now.
Yeah.
That means four times a year. Mm-hmm. Before, we were a monthly podcast, and that seemed to be too much for us, so we're now a seasonal
podcast.
We can't commit to that. I just feel like, you know, here's the thing. Okay, so I'll do a little housekeeping for everyone who's listening, because there are some people who may have just stumbled upon this completely blindly and are like, what is this? There may have been some people who already read the blog, Gen X Taste, and are like, oh, interesting, and want to know who you are. There may be some people who've listened religiously to our other episodes over at the Actor's Diet podcast and are like, what is this about? You know? Yes, thank you. And so to explain the history, we got to go back. Basically, I'll start with the Actor's Diet blog, which you and I co-founded.
We're going way back.
In 2009. We're going way back to 2009, not to the 90s, not to the 90s, but
there was 90s, 2009. There was stuff before this, but we'll stop at 2009.
And that will be discussed. That will be discussed at some point in these four seasons. But basically, you and I started the Actor's Diet blog. This is back in 2009, as I mentioned, when nobody was blogging, or very few people were blogging, or blogging was just at the beginning of its heyday, you know? And we wrote and took photos of everything we ate for a year, right? And then it became my solo venture.
Yes.
Which then grew into a podcast where I did interview said celebrities, everyone from Sandra Oh to Cheryl Strayed. Just some really amazing folks, talking to them about eating disorders and food and all that other stuff.
It's a really great podcast if you haven't actually listened to that one.
It is a great podcast.
There's some great, great interviews.
Hundred something episodes to listen to. And I asked Christy during the pandemic, because she and I had so much trouble just getting together on a regular basis. We thought we were going to do manicures like once a month, and then we couldn't even find a manicure place anymore because they all closed during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I asked her to co-host the Actors Diet podcast with me every month, which we did for several months, and it was a lot of fun. And then we took a little break for the summer. We came back. We did one episode, and then we never heard from again. and so I think what I wanted to talk to you about today. So the structure is this.
Yeah.
It's me and Christy. We come on. We just we catch up.
Yeah.
We delve into a topic that each one of us will choose.
Yes.
This month or this season. It's like, my turn.
Okay. Perfect. That's what I was going to say. Go for it.
Yes. And then we'll share a little potluck dish. That's what it was called when it was the Actors Diet. But we can still have potlucks where it's
potlucks were big sort in the 90s.
It can be food related, but yeah, exactly. But potluck of everything from food to ideas to makeup to skincare, you know, all the stuff that I talk about on the blog, Gen X Taste. So this is an audio extension of the blog. I've roped Christy in once again because that's what history shows us. And this month, or this season, God, I gotta get over that. This season, the topic I want to discuss with you, Christy.
Oh boy. So it's a surprise.
Is adult
I don't
friendships.
Know
what... Ooh. It's a surprise. She didn't know.
I didn't
she
know.
She didn't prep for this.
I did not.
She's
prep
shocked.
For this. I am delightfully shocked.
She's shocked.
You can't see me. This is
adult friendships. Did you ever imagine? So what are the feelings coming up for you when you hear the words adult friendship, spitballing, go.
You know, it's funny. Jeff and I, my husband Jeff, we're just having a conversation the other day about adult friendships and the difference between like, well, honestly, the real conversation was like a lot of our friendships, right, center around our kids because we have two kids and they're in school. And so we spend a lot of time. And the question was kind of like, if we didn't have kids, would we still be friends with said people? Like these people, those people, these people, those people. And what we found was that it is like just like the close people that you've had in your life for years, like you and I have been friends forever through so many life changes. And it is not dependent on anything. Like it's not dependent on where we live or because we were friends when you moved here after we both lived in New York and we are still friends. It's not dependent on marriage. It's not dependent on kids. It's not dependent on jobs. It's not dependent on anything. And finding those people who are those kinds of friends forever is difficult. Like you find some and then some you are just friends with for a season because your, you know, kids are doing the same thing or because your job is the same. But what's interesting that we were saying is we spend more time with our, and I'll just call them seasonal friends. And this is not to say that they're not as important as longtime friends, but we spend more time with our seasonal friends than we do with our longtime friends at this point. Does that make sense? Did you hear? Oh. Did I cut up?
Yes. No, of course. No, you didn't cut out. And I think, you know, it's interesting as you were talking and you said that you had talked about wondering if you would be friends with these same people if it was not for your children. Like, as somebody who doesn't have children, I remember I can't, of course, none of us can answer that question, right? But like my instinct was like, no, you would not. You would not. Because I actively remember that a huge part of my identity in my 30s, so like a decade ago, when I was like realizing, oh, I'm not going to be able to have kids. I'm not, that's not part of my future. And, you know, for me, to give people a little history, I struggled with infertility for over a decade. And it was something I very much wanted. I wasn't one of those people who's childless by choice. And so the being around births that was happening whilst I was in the infertility was super challenging. And I purposefully was seeking out friendships that didn't revolve around kids, right? But that said, now that I'm past that emotionally, you know, I do find myself being like, wow, I wish I had a school concert to go to, or like, those birthday parties look kind of fun. Like, I'd like to go to them, even though knowing full well, if I were to go, I'd be like, I want out of here.
Yeah.
Also, you know? Yeah. So there's a piece of me that's very, I feel like there's a piece of adulthood, quote unquote adulthood, because, you know, everyone's adulthood is different, but like there's a piece of parenthood that just goes along with, you know, for a brief moment in time, and you remember this, last year, I was unexpectedly present and before I, you know, miscarried a week later. And I, during that week, I know it's, I just dropped kind of a bomb on people who are just starting to listen for the first time. I do want to acknowledge that that was a fucking crazy moment, especially given the infertility struggles that we just mentioned. But that week that I sort of allowed myself to fantasize about being a mom, because part of me like was not wanting to suppress any of that excitement, because I knew it was the only time that I was ever going to be pregnant. Like, I wasn't going to try again at my age. It just was not going to happen. So I allowed myself to fantasize. And one of those fantasies was, wow, I'm going to go to birthday parties. Like, I'm going to go to those birthday parties, and I'm going to, like I completely saw myself having these friends that would revolve around the children, you know?
Right.
That are like real deep friendships.
Yeah.
And it's so strange that I know that, even though I haven't experienced it for myself or been around it. I just, it's just something that you know must be the case, because like any sort of situation where you're around people, that breeds that familiarity, like even if you're not telling them really deep shit, you know, it's still this, I don't know, you're happy to see them. There there is that thing that happens. And I mean, you and I met under those circumstances as well, if you want to tell people how we actually met.
Tell people.
You tell people.
you tell people. Yes. I just wanted to say something about what you were saying too, is that it's, I think that there's a, you're absolutely excited to see those people. And it's really important to have those people who are having that kind of shared experience in real time, because there's a sense of like belonging and a sense of like acceptance. Yes, obviously. But it's like this, like, oh, we're going through the same thing. You're okay. I'm okay. All this is okay. Right. Kind of thing. And you can have that in many different situations. It doesn't just have to be with kids. So when I say like, would we still be friends? It's not to minimize that experience. It's there still are people within that, that then it jumps like it begins to transcend it. Do you know what I mean? It begins to deepen in a way. And with some people, it doesn't deepen. And when Jeff and I were having the conversation, it was kind of trying to understand. And that's something I would ask you too, because I've been asking myself, like, what is it about a relationship, particularly in adulthood, that is required for it to deepen? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have your seasonal friends, the ones that you I'll call them seasonal friends, but the ones that you spend time with because of situational, and you love them and they're fun, and they are your kind of the majority of your social. Hello, Miles.
Pardon my dog. So sorry.
And they are the majority of your social interaction, your day-to-day interaction, because they share the same circumstances with you. And then certain ones in there deepen into something more, just like, and they start to kind of meld in with some of your friends that you've had forever. And the interesting thing is that even though, you know, you're with your seasonal friends more, like when you can touch base with your friends from history, like you and I, like we can hop on and do this together. And what am I trying to say? I guess I'm trying to say that like they each serve their purpose, but I found it interesting that you can spend so much time with someone seasonally and really care about them and really care about, you know, in this case, about their families, and know, oh, and that's why it came up, because my son's going to go into middle school. And, you know, he finishes sixth grade at this school and then he'll go into middle school. And to know that some of those are going to end because situationally we will not be in the same place. Some will not, but some will. And so Jeff and I were kind of having that conversation about like, which ones do you think will transcend this transition and which ones will not? Does that make sense?
Wow. Yeah. But also to go back to what you were saying and this about like, what is it? Mm-hmm. I think you and I had similarly, and I'm still waiting for you to tell people how we met. But in the circumstances of how we met, I think we transcended a familiarity. So I'll let you tell how we met.
So we were in Lynn and I met in New York, and it was after college, and we were both in a theater company together. And what happened was actually is that this was a theater company that I was in starting in college, and I was in it for a while, and then I left and took a break for a year, maybe two. And I came back into the company, and it was a new company, and Lynn was in the company. And I was, this was now her company, or that group of actors' company. So I came in, not a part of that group. And, so that's initially how we met. And then like really just started hanging out, started liking each other. I started dating a guy that was in that company who was very good friends with Lynn. And so we got to know each other. And as anyone who knows Lynn knows, she's incredibly funny and incredibly amazing. And so I just kept her for years, forever.
But you know, I still like, That period, I think, like, you know, if anyone's been part of a theater company, you know, it's like a very bonding experience, similar to what I guess you're talking about with the parents at the mm-hmm. school, you mm-hmm. know? And, you know, despite the fact that, like, we're all rehearsing together, eating together, walking to the subway together, all of that, mm-hmm. there's still people you gravitate towards. And as Absolutely. You said, you were a little bit of an outsider in the sense that you weren't like always there. You kind of like were more freelance than the mm-hmm. other core group of actors. You like, yeah. So, but yet still, you know, I remember going to your apartment for dinners mm-hmm. and We even traveled together. Christy did the classic, like, you know, she's my girlfriend when I got super sick down the shore or Atlantic City, wherever. Where were we? We're in Atlantic City. I think I got very drunk.
Atlantic City,
You held the hair back while I vomited. And that, what a touching moment that was for me. Because no one had ever done that before for me, you know? And so what I'm saying is, I think, and there has been some research done about this. I read a book about this years ago, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is, that similar to romance, friendships have a chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way some relationships romantically work, like there's a vibe, an energetic field, who knows, like maybe we like it the way each other smells, you know, even like there's certainly friends I have who I don't like I'm repulsed, I hate saying this, I don't like the smell of their breath or something like that, right? So
yeah,
we don't have intimate gatherings. And I just think, I don't know, maybe there's like something, is it primal? Is it spiritual? I don't know. But there's something intangible.
But what's about interesting,
certain friendships.
Because you do. I think you're right. You do know initially when you walk into a situation, like just instinctually who you want to be friends with, right? Or who you are, quote unquote, attracted to. It doesn't have to be like romantically, but like just in a group situation. And I think about, you know, if you look at like psychology, is it patterns? Like, is it that, you know, we both are comfortable with certain patterns in each other's behavior, or that we just gravitate? But I think that, like, I want to just chalk it up to that and say that it's like, yeah, we came, either we have similar patterning, and so we are comfortable with the other person, the way they behave, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know that that's necessarily true, because if you look at you and I, who have been friends for so long, that has shifted, right? We've become different people. We're very different than in a lot of ways than we were then when we met. So then is it just
the I'd be so lucky to have you hold my hair back while I puke right now. I wish we were in a situation where we were traveling and I could get that wasted and you could hold me. I wish.
We can arrange that, Lynn. We can totally arrange that. And relive.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
I would still hold your hair back. But I think, like, it's not something that we talked about. It wasn't something like, well, hey, I'm changing and growing, and like, Are you changing and growing? Are we still going to be friends? It just was. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just rode it out. And so that makes me feel like, because we have confronted and changed a lot of patterns over the years as people individually, and yet still this makes sense. You know what I mean? So
do you think
about, yeah,
because when you just said that, I just remembered how there's like, because we're talking about adult friendships here, I'm remembering adolescent friendships, and I kind of am I remembering this wrong, but I sense that there was more discussion about like, we're gonna be friends now, and then we're not friends anymore. That conversation happened, right?
Yeah.
Like to be clear, I'm gonna write you a note to dissolve this.
Do you want to be my friend
or whatever?
Or like, not? Yes or no? Circle.
I don't play that anymore. I don't, like, I'm not going to Susie's house anymore.
Right.
Like it. I can hear the words. We're not playing with blah blah anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you hear your kids saying something like, can you imagine that like happening and not being surprised?
Oh, absolutely. I just had a discussion with
I mean, not to put your kids on the
No. I won't say what the exact discussion is, but just last night, Hudson and I had a discussion and he's seven and it's all that kind of playground stuff. So-and-so wants to play with this and I don't want to play with that. So now we can't be friends anymore. And like that kind of conversation about like, is that what your friendship is based on, is playing that particular game? And it kind of is. Like he was like, yeah. I was like, okay. You know what I mean? Then yeah, I guess it might be time to move on, you know? Yeah. I don't know when does that change? When does that change?
I must mention this in this podcast episode that you and I actually wrote a screenplay once mm-hmm. about like the dissolution of a friendship. This is when Sex and the City was still on.
Yes.
And the reason it came up was because I felt so betrayed by life that I did not have a Carrie, a Samantha, like I didn't have my group of women to sit around and have brunch with every weekend. I felt mm-hmm. like, what have I done wrong in my life mm-hmm. to make it so that I don't have my core, my ride or dies, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I wanted to explore that. It felt safe to explore that with you. Mm-hmm. And we wrote like a first draft or maybe even a second draft about a friendship that was – it was like the opposite of like – a romance or like a meet cute or whatever. It was like, they're breaking up. They're like, we're watching a friendship fall apart, essentially.
Right.
And so I would say it's strange because like, I would say that seems like a normal time for people. Like when people start getting jobs, mm-hmm. when they're on their own, when they start to think about getting married, having families, like you no longer have that really like intense moment between college and the first few years mm-hmm. out of college mm-hmm. where like people run errands together, people drop everything for one another mm-hmm. Because there's less issues
right.
in one's everyday life that you don't have as many of your own fires to put out.
Right.
Plus you're, I think, willing to like not have everything have to be just so. Right. In order to just, like, you're willing to, like, sleep, for lack of a better term, sleep on the couch.
Right.
Whereas, like, as you get older, the willingness to sleep on a couch is just, like, no, I've outgrown that. And I wonder if that's, like, almost like a, I don't know, it's a weird thing because, like, I don't feel like I ever signed up to outgrow running errands with friends. I still want to do those things, but I've outgrown it also. Like, that's could you imagine me being like, Christy, after this, let's go to Target. Let's go to Target. And I could hear you being like, I really want to, but I've got to pick up my kid. I've got to do a load of laundry. And like, it's like all of this stuff that like suddenly, like back in the day, you would have been like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go. Laundry can wait.
But there are like, people, you know, that still, there are people that still do that. Like friends that I hear about do that, like with their, I think it, my cousins do.
Are you sure they're not Samantha, Carrie, and Miranda?
So I have two comments about this. The first real one people. Being
wow.
that the whole thing with Sex and the City is that they were all friends with each other. And that I feel a little annoyed by that because I feel like it sets up, I feel like it's like the, like all the fairy tales about falling in love. It sets up this idea, this thing that is kind of unattainable as you get older, that like five friends are going to, well, I guess I shouldn't say it's unattainable, but I'm feeling what I want to do is say to younger Lynn, probably what I said then is like, I don't think that's totally attainable for every person. Like, I think you have your ride or dies, but they tend maybe to be like spread out and not necessarily best friends with each other. But what I was going to say to this new point about going to Target is that sounds amazing. I do need to go to Target. And when do people stop asking? I think they stop asking, like you said, right? When like they start to realize that the other person's life, or I start to realize, oh, that person's probably doing this, or my friend is probably doing that. But yeah, why don't we run in errands together anymore? Like, why don't we, not you and I specifically, but yes, you and I specifically, you know, why don't we do that kind of thing anymore? Like, some people do. Like, they'll say, I have to go to Costco. Do you want to go tomorrow at blah, blah, blah time? You know?
It's true. I do wonder also if the pandemic also affected.
Changed it.
I feel that. I feel like, yeah, like my in-person interactions over the last 4 years are just like so different than they were 4 years ago. It was almost like I was forced, not just me, it was just affected me. No, the whole world was forced to figure out like ways of coping and being by oneself that like once like adjusted to that way of being, it like for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm an introvert. I had no idea I was an introvert, and I seem to be really loving this. And then it was like, I want to lean into my introvert tendencies. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it became a thing of like being around other people felt like it was sucking my energy more so than I had ever realized before. Mm-hmm. This is just me speaking from my own experience, but like, I do know that like, it's something that is, I have yet to feel comfortable again the way I used to. And I don't know if that's something I just need to get over with the help of some like CBD or something, or like slow immersive therapy, or if it's just the way things are. Maybe this is another new phase of my life.
What do you mean? Maybe so this is specifically another, like, do you feel you don't like?
Okay, let's say there's a party.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a party that I'm invited to. I will probably, like, back in the day, this was the thought process. Very easy. I'm going to put on an outfit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put on the hair. I'm going to do the hair and the makeup. I'm going to go. I'm going to stay for an hour. If I'm having a lot of fun, I'll stay for another. And if I'm having a really lot of fun, I'll just keep going, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would come back either after an hour or after the entire night. And no matter what, I would have always felt glad that I went, right? Mm-hmm. Like that I always like had fun, because I do like being social and I do enjoy being around other people. Mm-hmm. However, now I talk myself out of the whole thing.
Why?
Before, like, anything.
In what way?
Because I have anxiety over like, oh, I, okay, first I don't want to put on the hair and makeup and to find an outfit.
Right.
Then I think there's also the piece about the food piece, because I used to not have celiac and now I have celiac. So like the worrying about what people will think if I don't eat their food, or if I like brought my own snack with me, like I feel like judged, and I feel like I'm letting the other person down, but I also don't want to be sick either, so I don't want anyone going out of their way for me, you know. So like there's that piece, and then there's, I think, also the piece of me that feels like a failure, you know. Awesome. Over like the last, well, career wise like I feel like I just feel like, yeah, I think that like, I feel like at this age, I wanted to be in a different place than I am. And so when I was younger, even though the pandemic was only 4 years ago, but still, like, I felt like I was still reaching towards some goals that I was hitting. And now I just feel tired trying to hit those goals. And I wouldn't say I want to give up, but I just don't want to like make them the most important.
Yeah.
So it's almost like my way of interacting and feeling like I have that shame also that I don't want people to see. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to just not
engage.
be there at all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, so for me, and I think friendships suffer because of that, mm-hmm. because not everyone wants to just go to Target with me. Not that I'm going to Target with anyone, by the way.
She's going to Target but like, with me later.
But guys. Well, we're going to have to make a date for that. Now that's for sure. But like, yeah. Not everyone wants to do my like, it's almost like I only want to do things that are super cozy and where I can be like, where I can show up, no makeup, and be completely vulnerable. Mm. And how many, I don't have that many friends like that, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, for the most part, I'm just an extremely self-sufficient person. Mm-hmm. And then I have my couple of friends like you mm-hmm. who I can be that vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. But like, otherwise, it's like, I don't know how to be a human in society, I feel mm-hmm. like still. And that's just something I feel like I need. I would really like to work on that this year, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. This is all to say, if we're talking about the theme of adult friendships, which is what we're talking about, I also think like one must acknowledge that the Gen Xers, their parents, the other generation, like there's never been more people relying on us in the generations before us and in the generations after us to know what the fuck we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know where there's time for friendship mm-hmm. in all of that. Mm-hmm. I would love to say that there's plenty of time, but it just doesn't feel like there is. And
doesn't it feel like – it feels like to me – I'm wondering if it feels like to you. There's two different things here that we're talking about. We're talking about socializing, and then we're talking about friendships.
Yes. Right?
And I think
that's true. Yes. And
maybe that's what I was trying to say before, is like you spend more time as you get it. I have spent more time as I gotten older socializing, enjoying people, sometimes enjoying the socializing, but and less day-to-day time with the friendships, the ones that are like what you're talking about, that cozy, vulnerable, show up any way that you are, do errands with each other friendships. Do you know what I mean? Like those are, because yeah, you wouldn't just go to Target with anybody. Like we're talking like that's a very specific type of friendship that you do that with. And there, that isn't every day or even every week anymore. It's like, it's specific. Right. So, and then there is this whole other part of it, of life, which is socializing. And that is different. It's different. And it feels different. And I behave with it different. And I am different in that situation than I am in friendships with you and with other people. And I think that has to be okay. Like it's a different phase of life. I think you're absolutely right on that. And if you don't enter into it expecting your social situations to be this other thing, then maybe there's a way to interact with it that feels still like it fills some cup. Do you know what I mean? Like it fills some sort of thing. Like whether that's like maybe you just socialize with a theme. Like in other words, like maybe you do like, I know you love book clubs, but like book clubs or a game night or something like that where it's social. There's like it's not as much pressure for you to like go out and have this great night. You can either have fun playing a game or you can leave and go home if you don't like the game or whatever. But then you kind of have more of an idea of what you're there for, you know? Tell me.
I did actually just see something in the New York Times. I posted it on my Instagram stories to only my close friends just to gauge the temperature. And I got a huge response. It's basically not a book club, uh-huh. but a reading club, which is everyone brings their book and you sit together and you read silently. Now, here's the thing. This is why this is so appealing to me, because I love the idea of being surrounded by people I love.
Yeah.
And not having to, like, talk. Right. Like, that, to me, sounds like heaven. And I think the reason almost everyone who responded was single. Almost everyone. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, but a bunch of people who were. But I do think, because I heard this recently on another podcast where they were talking about going on vacation with their family and how they all sat around the pool and just read. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's heaven. Sounds like heaven to me, of like just quietly being amongst the ones we love.
Just existing.
And yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. Is that because I'm like romanticizing my college years of being in a library? Like, how awesome was that, by the way, of like going to a fucking library, knowing every fucking person that was there, and knowing that if you needed a break, you could walk up to at least one of those people and be like, let's grab a coffee or like, let's eat.
I know.
And one of those people would, like, what a luxurious social existence, you know, that doesn't exist past that time of life. Maybe it would if you worked somewhere. I'm guessing. Neither of us work in offices.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's how a lot of that bonding happens as well. But yeah, we are talking about the socializing and less deep relationships. And I did go into this with you wanting to discuss like the deeper relationships, like the one that you and I have. Mm-hmm. And I guess to kind of wrap up this section of the podcast, which, you know, is so interesting that you and I have talked all about this and have acknowledged this, but I just want to re-acknowledge it, that like you and I love each other so much. We both live in the same city, and yet
I know
it is required to have a seasonal podcast in order to really set aside time so that we can intentionally do this. And the reason I'm like, I want to keep this going is because I value these conversations so much. I get so much out of it that like I'm not willing to give it up.
Right.
And that's like a way of like rethinking of how do I do this? How do I keep this conversation going? But like I guess like if you could talk to former Christy and Lynn, the ones who are writing that screenplay together, what advice would you give them about friendship that you wish that they had known then?
I guess it would be, don't assume. Like, things change. Like, situations change. Availability changes. But don't assume that you've grown out of certain things. Like we're talking about, like at that point in time when we were making that, you know, it was, we had different obligations. We were at different points in our lives. So we did see each other more. We lived closer to each other. But I think that a lot of that has changed now. And yet I still long for that time with you and that type of familiarity. Do you know what I mean? Because even though I see other people at this point more.
He just always right has something to say.
That was good because I was about to start crying.
Really has something to say this time.
He's confirmed.
Can you not? Talking about friendship here, please. Thank you. Hey!
Because just that there's just because there's
I mean, this is reality, right? Because this is what happens.
Yeah,
the reality of a child, of a pet, of a another living being.
Yeah,
just making their own needs known.
This is where we are now.
And like you're like, but I have something important to say.
Wait a minute. I just get it out as quickly as I can.
Why can't we just be like in each other's like space, like holding each other's faces close, like listening and ingesting all the being? But we can't because there's other things that want our attention constantly.
So
right?
That's so true. Yeah.
That's what happens.
But that need and desire for it doesn't go away. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, I guess I would say, is that like all this other stuff comes, but the need and desire for that, what you're talking about there, doesn't go away, because even though I see, like, even though your social situations change and who you hang out with socially, your friendships are your friendships, and those people are few and far between. And so when I say don't assume, I mean don't assume that because circumstances have changed, that those desires aren't still there. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Oh my gosh. I'm tearing up because I hear you. And I think also I agree with you a lot, because I'm remembering times. It's interesting. I'm remembering times when I never, ever, ever thought to myself, ever, like, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. Christy and I aren't going to be friends anymore. I never had a moment like that, but I do remember feeling like, oh, it just sucks that like we don't talk as much as we used to. Like, oh, that just sucks. But I think, and the reason I'm tearing up is because the reason I never actually like went there, and the reason why you and I are always able to pick up and mm-hmm. bond, no matter how much time and spaces pass between us, is because, like, to our core, we know how much we value and respect and love one another. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like whether, and we say that to each other a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, even if you weren't, like, there's a knowing in just, I guess, because of the energetically, again, when we're around each other, like that's obvious mm-hmm. that we respect, love, and care for each other and are very interested in what the other person's, what's happening in the other person's life. Mm-hmm. And so I think that probably has a lot to do with why some friendships last mm-hmm. and some don't, you know, like the whole thing about ghosting, mm-hmm. which I don't even think was a term.
No.
When we were younger. No, I don't think that was a
It happened.
A thing people
still
said.
Happened, folks.
But it seems like it's very it happened. Absolutely. I just don't like I just feel like it's like a I don't think this is a thing that happens to people like that are only quote unquote adults. Like I think it's happening a lot. Like and maybe that has to do with the fact that like you can just send off a text or not, or like you can allow like a friendship to be on a platform or on a text thread or completely in like one thing and then just one day stop mm-hmm. utilizing whatever platform or text thread and that's it.
Yeah.
And whereas like, you know, the other stuff was actual like passing of notes, phone calls, I don't know. I just feel like thank you for going into this with me. I just thought it was important to talk about, especially given our history mm-hmm. and why, like, this is why I do this. This is why I wanted to do this. Like, my intention behind it is extremely clear to me. Mm-hmm. Like yes, I think it's fun to have an audience, no matter how big or small, but like at the same time, because I think people always do get something out of listening to other people's stories. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's also like a space, even if it's virtual, to be able to think about things and talk about things on a seasonal basis. that I want to talk to my friend about, you know?
Yeah. I think what I love about our chats is I feel like this first little bit that we do, we could continue to talk about this for another hour or two, because now I'm like, let's get specific. Let's talk about this part of this. Let's talk about this part of our friendship. You know what I mean? It's like the overall discussion, and then we could talk for hours about it.
I know. But right now, we're going to stop talking about that.
But we're not going to.
Yeah, exactly. Not this season, but maybe next season. Who knows? Doubtful.
This year is all about adult Christy, relationships. Yes. No. We're done.
Okay. So, potluck.
We're going to move on. Let's talk about potlucks, because all Gen Xers love a good potluck. This is where we share a discovery that we're excited about lately. So it might be food related, or it might be beauty, fashion, home, mental health. This is a real show and tell about something we're exploring right now. So, Lynn?
Yeah, I miss show and tell, you know?
I do.
Oh, okay.
You're first.
Okay, I feel like I just talk so much.
Oh, you want me to go first?
But I'll go first. It's okay.
Okay.
Go. Whatever you want. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to show you. So Christy and I are actually recording, like, so we can see each other, but even though this audio only for you, so she can see what I'm doing. So I'm going to hold up something, and she's going to be like, what are you holding up right now, Lynn?
Okay.
There's just you can guess what this is, and unless you already have one yourself, you're really not.
Now
okay.
I'm
here.
Really
here
excited.
It is. Christy, this is it.
Wait, show me both ends.
You want to describe what I'm showing you?
Is that a back massager? What is that? Okay, so it is. I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing a bendy, like, kind of rod, and on one end it's attached to a like a disc almost. Is it a bendable light? That you can, it looks like maybe the disc sits on something or hooks under something. Oh boy, now it's, I don't know what that is. You tell me what that is.
I've bent it into a square. Okay. So Christy,
yeah.
Do you have a front loading washing machine?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you know, Christy, have you learned as an adult, that you're supposed to leave that door propped after you finish?
I'm going to tell you how I learned that.
Your wash, or else it gets really mildewy.
I learned that because I had to replace mine because it was so mildewy and gross that I could not get it cleaned. And we had a guy come out and he said, it's going to be more expensive for me to take everything apart and clean this mildew out. You should just replace it. So I ended up having to replace it. And now I am like a psycho person about it. If anybody leaves anything in the washer after the thing goes off, I am like a crazy person. I wipe it every night. I take out the like soap dispenser dish. I'm just going to say it's nasty when it gets gross in there. So tell me, because this I'm definitely going to need.
It really is.
What is it?
Yeah. So we've all learned the hard way. Maybe not to Christy's extreme case where she had to replace the entire thing. But, you know, having a front-loading washing machine, when you're done, and let's say you're done with the load and you're putting it up into the dryer, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're supposed to keep the door open to let it air out and thoroughly dry. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. when you leave that door open, it just gets in the way of everything. And now some people have areas where their laundry machine is in a room of its own and no one gives a shit if it's open. But mine is in the same room as the back patio and also where my dog eats.
Right.
So it's a real pain in the butt to have that thing open all the time. So this is a magnet. This disc that you described is a magnet that just sticks onto the side of your machine. And then this arm bends and folds around so that you can leave that door propped open.
So where...
And it will not fling about.
Okay, so you, if you're looking at your washing machine and let's say your door opens, like you, it opens to the left. So you would stick that little disc on the left-hand side of the washing machine and then you would...
No, on the right-hand side of the washing machine.
And then it would hold the door.
Okay, so this is my washing machine, right? Okay,
great, yeah.
Oh, I'm opening the door, right?
Okay.
To the left.
Yeah, I see.
Right?
Okay.
So this is next on the side of the washing machine to the right where near... It's giving you the thumbs up sign because it thinks I'm giving you a thumbs up. The video is. So this is like right near the side of the washing machine where the door opens.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
So, and then you can bend this so that it's out of the way.
Oh, so you never take it off.
Opening the door.
You just unbend
right?
it. So it's like.
You never take it off. It just sits there. I just took it off to show you.
So
it's just a cheap device.
No, I like it.
To make it.
You know
so
what
that.
I like about it? Because it is specifically fills a need and it does it well. Like
very specific need.
What she's showing us is kind of like a latch on like we had them for the kids when they were little, but
yes.
It wouldn't let it open more than a certain amount. So it goes on the side near the
yes.
Opening. Yeah.
Like a little safety latch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it keeps it open.
I got it for like less than $10 or maybe a little bit more. And at first I thought that's a silly thing, but then I was like, you know what? What is it? I'm just going to try it. I got it. It comes in white and black. And I'm very happy with it, I have to say. It's also, I'm holding it a lot. So it's like a very smooth surface, smooth like silicone-y surface. And I'm really happy with it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look that crazy on my washing machine, you know. And that's my little potluck joy.
It's awesome. I love it. That's very fun.
I'll leave a link in the show notes. Yeah. That's what I brought.
Okay.
Not the most exciting thing, but you know what? Every time I do my laundry and I don't have to deal with that door just flung open, it's pretty exciting, I have to say.
It sounds exciting. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
I have something. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to share
Great.
It with you. I got it for Christmas. Have you guys heard about like the red light therapy for beauty stuff, right? You know, like
of course,
red
yes.
Light? Okay, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean,
okay.
if anyone reads Gen X Taste, they know I'm a big
it.
Red light aficionado. Okay. Yes.
So you know how there's the masks, and then there's the panels, and then there's
yes.
the little wands, right?
Yes.
So I
yes.
feel like the lines around. I was never a smoker, but I have like lines around my lips.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the way I hold my mouth. Look what I found. I found lip ones. It's a red light therapy
oh my
just
God.
For the lips.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I was thinking about this because the mask doesn't cover your mouth.
Exactly. That's the thing. I was looking at all these masks and I was like, we have a panel because we can use it, you know, on your knees or your back or whatever. But I was like, oh, I'm going to get a mask. But then I was looking and none of them have red light around your lips, which is the main area. So this is one specifically for your lips. It's you know, it's pricey. It's not that expensive. It's like $100 and
it's not as cheap as my potluck dish.
It's not as cheap as yours. And I just got it for Christmas, but it's like this little like thing that you put over your mouth. They look like lips. So what it is it looks like lips.
They look like lips.
And you hold it, or it has like a little mouthpiece, but I feel like that would make me make the same like movement. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. You're supposed to like not drink as I take a sip from my Stanley straw, but you're supposed to not be sipping a Stanley straw.
That's right. But it's only 3 minutes.
Okay. So you just gotta.
Yeah. So I think you got
3 minutes.
It's only 3 minutes. Which is
okay,
amazing.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I just got one for my zit wand. That's 3 minutes, and you're right. But the longest 3 minutes of my life, as I sit there holding it feels like the longest 3 minutes of my life.
Okay, so then you're not going to.
So have you used it?
I haven't used it yet. I just got it because it just got shipped.
Okay.
So it's like a plug-in charger. I'm going to I'll report back next season. I'm going to forget. I'll just tell you.
And yeah. Then you can we'll see. We'll see what a year of using this has done. And if you notice any noticeable difference.
Okay. That's what I should do. I should take a picture every time we do a podcast and then we'll be able to tell if there's a difference. But it's like,
do you have to use like a serum or a balm or something with it, or it just goes right on directly?
They say you should be totally clean faced when you use it, and then afterwards use something because it'll help with the absorption of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who makes this?
This is Dr. Dennis Gross, he's a dermatologist.
Oh, Dr. Dennis. He loves those masks. He and the red light people are like this. They're really good friends.
I don't know.
He's got them in his pocket.
Which is why he can make things like this. I don't know. It could be a waste of money or it could be great, but I figure it's like the area that I
do you find a difference with your red light?
I can't tell.
Do you feel like red light makes a difference for you?
I can't tell.
You can't tell?
You know what I do feel like it makes a difference with for me is mood.
What?
I feel happier. Like it helps I get depression and when it is really acting up, red light really helps me to feel better when I'm consistent about it. So I do it with our panel. I sit in front of our panel. And it just, I feel better after. I can't do it at night. It doesn't help me sleep. I do it in the morning. And if I'm doing it consistently, I just feel better. So I think there's something too, like now they're suggesting it for depression and, it does help me. I don't know why, but it does. So maybe
I feel like my red light mask helps with, what's it called? Like I get discoloration.
Oh, yeah.
And it helps just sort of like even out everything.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we're going to talk skincare in a different episode down the line. It might not be until December of next year, but you know, we will at some point. And I think it's interesting because sometimes I think it's whether or not this stuff works or not, the red light, the microcurrents, et cetera, there's something about the intention behind it of being like, I'm dedicating 3 minutes to this.
Yeah.
That sometimes, like, I don't know, maybe a placebo effect happens in your mind and you're just like, definitely working.
Right.
It's definitely working. Because I will tell you, sometimes I watch these like before and after videos and the people in the video are so like, oh my God, what a difference. And I'm honestly watching being like, you looked better in the before. Is it just me or like,
that did not
do
work.
I prefer the before photo more? And, but you know, who gives a shit what I think? They're very happy.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe sometimes it's just like an intentional thing of like, I'm going to work on a certain a thing and see if it works out, and you can trick the mind by doing it 3 minutes every single day into believing that it's happening.
I think also it's like,
is it Dumbo and his feather, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And the simple act of like taking action towards it and consistent action towards something has to bleed over into, I mean, that's what, you know, there's so many things that, you know, routine, when you set a routine and you do something over and over again, you feel better because you know, like, I'm getting up every day at 5 a.m. and I'm stretching, you know, and like, does it make me feel better? Sure. Like I'm putting some action towards it. But also just the act of doing it makes you feel better as well. And then makes you apt to do more things probably. So then maybe you'll do red light and put a cream on, or maybe you'll do red light and exercise a little. I don't know. Whatever it is that the thing is. I don't know.
Oh. Okay, I'm dying to know if this if you feel like it's doing anything.
Okay.
That was great today.
I think I'm going to start it today. I'm going to start it today.
Tonight?
I'm starting it today. January 12th. January 12th is when we're recording this. That's when I'm starting. So next year.
Okay. Let's see June 12th.
That's right.
The progress, we'll see June 12th and then we'll see January 12th, 2025. Holy shit. But you know what? Time's going to fly by so fast that by the time the next episode, is live, like we may not even recognize each other because your lips will just look so different. Who knows? No one knows what's gonna happen.
No, we don't know. All right, cool.
Well, thanks for taking this seasonal journey with me, yeah, Christy.
I think it's gonna be fun.
I mean, it already is fun,
yeah,
for me. And if you've listened to the podcast this far, I don't know, maybe like send us a secret code on social media. Like, oh, I know, like leave an emoji of a kiss.
Yes.
Like, you know, those lip kisses.
That's good. I like that.
Leave that in the comment or in the or like on one of our socials. I'm at Ms. Lin Chen and Christy is at Christy Myers LA. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it in the show notes. And yeah, leave that emoji so that we know you've listened this far, because sometimes I'm just curious who sat around for an hour to listen to us. But no matter what, I'm just so happy to be here with you, theme song or not.
Same.
And I love you so much. And thank you for doing this with me. And thank you for being my friend. And that's it.
Aw, same. I love you too.